Hello, my name is Mercury and welcome to the brand episode of BDFA. Today, I'm alone. Today, I'll be discussing the latest MonsterVerse installment. Sorry. The latest installment of MonsterVerse, Monarch Legacy of Monsters. The first season, hopefully, maybe, of Monarch Legacy of Monsters. So, yeah. I know I'm a bit late, a little over 2 weeks late for cover this show, but that is earlier than some of the shows we've talked about here. So yeah, we're gonna get into it, but you know, this show had to live up to our expectations. Like, you probably, I released my review of Skull Island, the first show in the MonsterVerse, and the one in the MonsterVerse Summits that was before this one. And I didn't really like that show. But so Monarch Legacy of Monsters had a lot to really make up for in terms of quality for the MonsterVerse in television. So did it do that? I mean, theoretically, in a sense, kind of. So yeah, we're gonna get into it. There's a lot of things to talk about in here. I do have quite a lot of notes. So yeah, without further ado, let's begin. So the first thing I want to talk about is the thing we always start with, the CGI. So the CGI is one of the best examples of CGI I've seen in a TV show. It's very indicative that the MonsterVerse, which is one of the biggest multimedia franchises, like cinematic franchises that has ever really existed right now, featuring, you know, Godzilla and Kong and all these different characters. But it's very indicative that Marvel couldn't get their shit together while doing something like this. And sometimes not even like Star Wars could do something like this. And God, in the CGI here is very well done and looks movie quality. There's one scene which is with Bill Randa, John Goodman Bill Randa, that isn't very good in terms of CGI. It's very rough. But that's really the only example of that. And some things I gotta say, probably said during the trailer or trailer episodes, that I feel like some of the scenes in the show are really obvious. Like, just very obviously green screen, which is one of the things that I criticized and was kind of hoping it wouldn't be something that was in the show quite a lot, because what I saw from the show, it did look like it was a lot of green screen and all that, and I didn't really like that. So, I'm glad to say that it isn't mostly green screen. The only one I can clearly 100% say is green screen is the scene with John Goodman, which is it's one of the first scenes, and it is clearly green screen, and it's not very good. It doesn't do a great job of hiding it. So I don't know. My concerns were there for like 5 minutes, and then quickly dissipated. And you know, we saw more things. And I gotta say, the other things that are very much green screen that couldn't be done with anything else that wasn't green screen isn't obviously green screen, which is bravo. So the only bad instance of CGI in the entire show is in the opening scene, which, yeah, not the greatest first impression, but it does get better, and it really does get better. Godzilla looks amazing. The first episode has like the worst CGI, but like by proxy, everything else looks so good. But yeah, no, the CGI is very impressive to have been done here. I don't know how much this I don't know how much this cost. I don't know what the budget for this series was. I mean, it's probably not public, but you know, it's interesting to see how. I don't know if the budget is a thing that's public, but it's probably gonna be lower than what it was in, yeah, you know, like in any Marvel show. But yeah, I cannot find the budget. But but for what, however much budget it had, it did very well in its CGI department. Now, what it didn't do so well is in the character department. And this is pretty much the biggest problem everybody has with the show, and it's the characters. So we're gonna go over all of them that I can really think about. And yeah. And once I have noted down here. So yeah. First up is Kate Randa. Now Kate Randa has wasted potential. Had potential and it was wasted. I feel like what they were going with the character was very interesting, but it ultimately went nowhere. So she was a survivor of the events of Godzilla 2014, which is now known as G-Day. And she is traumatized. She was a teacher and she lost all of her, and she lost most of her students due to Godzilla. Interesting enough. It's interesting enough. Like that, it works. But the main gripe I have is that they don't do anything with it. It's set up in the first episode. It's very, very big. And in the first episode, she's having panic attacks, and she's having flashbacks, and you know, all that shit. That is, you know, she's having moments that she's not reflecting, but having trauma. She's experiencing stress attacks, you know, all that. But it happens in the first episode, and that is it. It is completely and utterly dropped. Now, that's something that is not well done, not the best part of a character, but you could have. There's no redeeming, goddammit. It's just a worthless thing to drop, because the thing is that it's that we see her meet Godzilla. She had a face-to-face moment with Godzilla in G-Day, and she has two face-to-face encounters with Godzilla later on in the series. One in Africa, and then one at Sismundi. And she shows absolutely no reaction. What I think should have happened is maybe a bit of I don't know. I guess like resentment towards Godzilla. I feel like it could have been very interesting to see how Shaw sees, like, maybe Shaw sees Godzilla as the thing. I think what he says in the series, that he's trying to help Godzilla or something, dealing with the monsters. I don't know. Like, it would have been interesting to see him trying to, he knows that Godzilla is what Godzilla's role is, and all he's trying to do is help him, kind of like ancient times or whatever, and she's showing some resentment to it, but she warms up to the idea. I don't know. Like, she learns the true nature of Godzilla. That would have been quite interesting, but that wasn't part of the thing that was here. It wasn't the main. That wasn't what she had to focus on. And then the other part of the character, which I think was very much very wasted, is the fact that she has the same problem her dad is. So in the show, one of the main things that Hiroshi Randa has two families, one in Japan and one in America, and one in San Francisco. And one of the main plot points is that he was wrong to cheat on both of the families. Which, yeah, that is something wrong to do. And then we later learn later on the line that Kate cheated on her girlfriend with another person. So, yeah, it's a bit hypocritical, but what I'm gonna guess is that they were trying to do is to show that Kate realized this and realized that she did the same thing and that they're kind of alike, and that, I don't know, like, she's mad at both herself and her father for being so, I don't know, like, trying to find, like, I don't, it's so weirdly, I see what they were going for, having the character be hypocritical like this, and maybe she realized to err her ways or whatever sometime, at some point, like, that what she did was wrong, and now that her dad did this, now she realized that her dad did the same thing, she's coming here to, give him a piece of her mind from experience or whatever, that this is, that you're just hurting two parties. But it was never something that actually happened in the show, or that was very well established. So it was another part of a wasted character where we just see her kind of, oh, it's like she's like her father or whatever. And it was never brought up ever again because her and her father don't genuinely meet until the last episode. The final episode. Now, could this be brought up in season 2? Possibly. Will season 2 happen? We don't know. So that's the thing. Like, if you don't, like I said with Skull Island, if you don't know that season 2 is gonna happen, if you're not 100% sure that season 2 is going to happen, do not leave such open threads. Excuse me. Do not leave such loose threads that if a season 2 doesn't happen, it becomes something that is a critique of the show. Because, yeah, sometimes loose threads, whatever, that can be solved by a tie-in novel or something, a tie-in comic book, right? But, like, leaving several, like, leaving a whole plot line of the show, leaving this whole thing, this is the thing, and leaving it completely and utterly unresolved in the show, not very good. So, yeah, also, Kate Randa is kind of, I guess, one of the better human, I don't know, I guess because of the better human character, but she's, I guess, tolerable. I guess she's tolerable. I don't know. So yeah. Next up is, I think maybe the one of the better characters, maybe because he doesn't get fucking, I don't know. Everyone's just written weirdly. Kentaro Randa, the Kate's half brother. So what's up with Kentaro? Not much. He's not much of a character. I guess I understand him being sort of hostile. I don't know. He's just being hostile at the start, but he continues being hostile. Everyone's just hostile to each other. That's one of the things that people don't like about this show. Everyone's just bickering for no reason. And everyone's just kind of arguing, and the thing is, he's not much of a character. We learned about him in May, but yeah, he just kind of sits there and does kind of nothing. he's kind of a nothing character, and nothing really came of it. And one of the weirdest things is that when he, I guess, when he starts screaming at his dad for leaving his daughter to die, like, leaving Kate to, like, oh, you led Kate to this, and now she's dead because of you. And he's just, he is, and he sees his dad crying on the floor, and he's just like, yeah, you did this to yourself. It just feels like, it feels very unsympathetic, and honestly, it makes him an asshole. I understand, like, finding out that, like, your dad, I don't know, it just, at that point, it's not even his fault, it's not even his dad's fault that Kate went on to go to the fucking Kazakhstan, where the hell they ended up in. It's not even, it doesn't just follow, it's just, he gave up at that point. Like, I don't know if, I don't even know if Hiroshi went to Kazakhstan. Like, she just like, well, we gotta follow this map, and then went to Kazakhstan, and like, well, and now Kentaro's here, like, you got her killed, it was your fault. Like, what the fuck? At that point, it wasn't. At that point, it was her own doing. That wasn't Hiroshi's fault. He made a map, right? He made a map, and which was based on Bill's sort of theory. And then Kate followed the map, and you know, like, where would Lee go? And it's, oh, the Kazakhstan. Oh, definitely, that's when he lost. Fucking, I forgot his name, Keiko. Oh, I'd love to go. That's there. There was no, like, that wasn't Hiroshi's fault for. Oh my god, that wasn't Hiroshi's fault. Also, I know he went to Kazakhstan. I think he went to Kazakhstan. Like, before they just, I don't know.
Just fucking useless.
Just fucking very useless. And it just seems like Kentaro's an asshole. I didn't like that. I was like, well, that's not his fault. Sure, he made the map, but it was her choosing to fucking go with it. Because she wasn't, like, at that point, she wasn't even, like, trying to follow Hiroshi. Like, she wasn't trying to follow her dad's, like, plan. It was just, like, Lee has the map, and she wants to get to where Lee is. She wants to find Lee. So where would Lee be? Where he lost Keiko is one of the, that's one of the points. Let's go there. And at that point, it's Lee's fault but I mean, she wasn't dead, so you know, just fucking, I don't know. Right, I didn't like that scene. Kentaro just looked like an ass. So yeah, Kentaro. Not my favorite, but the next one, it's not a lot of people's favorite. May Hewitt, or whatever her real name is. I forgot her real name. I think it's like fucking, I don't remember. It's such a non-issue in the show. May is, to a lot of people, the worst character in the show, and I kind of understand why. She is the most combative out of everyone here. It's clear. Very clear. She's the most combative out of everyone here, which is not a bad character trait. Not a bad character trait. But it becomes annoying when you realize that she's just fighting fucking everybody. And yeah. She's fighting everybody. She just, fucking, it's so annoying. She does, I think, one of the worst things a protagonist could ever do, and that she pretty much says that she wants to go home, and she will go home. Let me tell you, she will go home. And she pretty much leaves the fucking the hero south to die in the desert. Yeah, that's genuinely what happens. She leaves out the character, the other characters die in the desert, and they just fucking forgive her for it. Like, oh yeah, no, you left us on the desert. We have nowhere to go. But yeah, no, we forgive you. And then she starts having a thing with Kate, I guess. It's bizarre. It's such a weird character that you're just like, fuck you. Like, everyone here is horrible. And fucking, how does this happen? Okay, I don't know. Just genuinely very weird. I don't know how this ever happened. How this thing was like. How do you write this character? How do you write a character like this? Your main hero. Like, yep. Well, this is what it is. And then she goes back to her old employer. And that becomes nothing. It's like, oh, now we're apex or whatever. I don't fucking know. What the fuck is, what's the whole point of that goddamn scene? Well, what was the point? What was the point of the goddamn May plot? It added nothing other than an apex. I mean, I like the backstory, but it wasn't fucking worth it when we got the worst scenes in the whole show. Like, I don't care. I don't care about May. She left them out to die in the desert, pretty much. Like, yep. Well, you guys can fucking stay here. I know we're gonna fucking go here, and well, like she just left them with no transportation. Pretty much just left to die, and like the only reason that they got out of Algeria, where the hell they went, is because Tim was there. Fucking best character, Tim. So yeah, May's awful. May's an awful character, and I hate her. So yeah. Next up is Lee Shaw, which is sort of kind of like the main character in the show, and that's not really. Kate is the main character, but Lee is there for much more time than Kate is, and Lee had some things that were interesting, I gotta say. But I don't know if they really translate well. I feel like him being sort of, I feel like this character didn't really know much about the monsters and the titans and all that, and him sort of becoming this ambassador for the titans or whatever is very interesting. A very interesting plot point, seeing how this character, who at some point didn't really believe in the titans, and he's just like, the titans are part of the environment, are part of this, and we need to do our part in protecting the world. It would be very interesting if there was if there was something to really anchor that thing, because we just saw him like being shown by Monarch and being this crazy person. I don't know. It's very weird what they did. And Lee, yeah, they did some interesting things with him. He's apparently not as old as he's supposed to be. He missed out on 20 years. He was kept in a fake retirement home in Japan. Some very interesting things that were done with the character, and him like slowly, but very, obviously, in a very obvious way, evolving to become this character that respects the Titans and respects what they're doing on Monarch. It was interesting, but I feel like it was a bit rushed because one of the episodes. He just storms the base, and he never acts like that ever again. He acts like a villain, and then he's like, and then we're like, oh, now you're evil, whatever the fuck, and it comes out of nowhere. So, yeah. And then he was like, oh, yeah, and I gotta, we're helping Godzilla by closing all these portals. And he was like the villain, and then he's a hero, and then he sacrifices himself. Like, what the fuck are you trying to do with a character? Like, what are you trying to do with this character? He's clearly not working. It is very much not working. So, yeah. There's that. Lee was pretty good, but I feel like he was a bit rushed. Next up, Keiko Mura, or Keiko Randa, whatever the hell you want to call her. You know, I liked Keiko. She's that person. She cares about the Titans. She knows that they're not monsters, they're animals. And she's very smart and all that. And, you know, she's a pretty good character. I don't know, just, and then she appeared in that, and I did like her then, but kind of brought out a few plot points, like maybe, like, a few cool plot points, but she doesn't really do much, and it's not really like, oh, well, but this character, she lost fucking, she would have been dead by 2015, if I'm being honest. She would have been dead, and she is, I think, younger than her son at this point in the timeline. So it's very interesting to see that. But yeah, no, I feel like what they did with Keiko was interesting, and but I feel like the weird love triangle thing was a bit weird, but you know, whatever, right? Something that didn't really matter in the end, I guess, because Lee cared about Cake or whatever the hell. And yeah, there's that. But Keiko, she's one of the better characters, but because she's fucking she's at least likable. She's at least likable. She doesn't bake her. She doesn't do anything like that. And I liked her reactions in the 10th episode. I think it was very good. But yeah, that's pretty almost at Keiko. Next up is Bill Randa. Yippee, Bill Randa. Woo! Okay. Bill Randa returns, kind of, from Skull Island. And we see his family here and all that. And, yeah, no, he's not much, doesn't do much in this series, I feel. He's there, we learn about the Iron Dragon through him and how, like, the USS Lawton was destroyed by it. I feel like that was interesting, but aside from that, not really much is done with the character, except from that, and he's central to the plot, but he's not, as a character himself, he's not very active. So, yeah, he is what he is, I guess. It's kind of disappointing to see his character that is returning from the movies. 100%, he's from the movies, and he doesn't really do much, which, I mean, you can't, because he has to die in Skull Island. Aside from that, not much of a character, I gotta say. But yeah, I feel like Bill was enjoyable, and his moments with Keiko were sweet and all that. But aside from that, not much of a character. And next up, Hiroshi Randa. Woohoo! Hit. Now Hiroshi Randa, again, bad parent, definitely wasn't there. But like, she doesn't really do much. Like, one of my critiques, like, the show is entirely about finding him. Like, oh, my dad is gone, and he is your dad, or what the fuck. And we need to find them, and then we get this wild goose chase. They find him episode 6. The plot about the show stops being about Hiroshi. Hiroshi's gone. Right, they find him. He's gone. He shows up later on the line, just fucking, I'm here now, bitch! And then he shows up every time after that. He is like so. It's so weird. Now he's working for Apex, and also like Miura, Keiko, who is the fucking was the founder of Monarch, is now at Apex. That thing has to be fucking explored in season 2 in a movie, because holy fuck, that's huge. But yeah, no, Hiroshi Randa, not much of a character. He's kind of stupid the way the fuck it, they made him, how they wrote the story around them. It's very weird. But yeah, no. That's Randa. Other characters, Tim, I guess, is the best character because he's not fucking, he is not insufferable. He's just trying his best. So yeah, Tim is great. Sandra's sister, the mother from fucking Ford Brody's mother from 2014. She has a sister in the show, and she's fine. She doesn't really do much. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So yeah, the characters, not very good. The monsters, they're the best part, duh. So yeah, the monsters, to start off with Godzilla. So we're gonna go in I guess order of appearance, kind of, or I guess like the order of importance. Godzilla is not very present in this show, and something that I think one of the directors did, that they would have made the show have more Godzilla, then why did you fucking make it have more Godzilla? If monster movies need more Godzilla, then why didn't you make a fucking example? Put more Godzilla. But yeah, no, Godzilla's cool, obviously. Duh, he has to be. Toho wouldn't let Godzilla be uncool. But yeah, so it's mostly about him, but kind of not, because he shows up like 3 times in this goddamn show and then he fucks off. So yeah, honestly, I feel like Godzilla is one of those things that just doesn't fucking need to be in the show for it to function. I feel like Godzilla could be swapped out for like any monster, and it would have been the same, aside from, you know, G-Day. I think it would have been the exact same thing if the monster that shows up in the desert is not Godzilla, it's like Anguirus or Baragon, if they want to go fucking deeper into this shit. Or like anyone else, fucking like just a new monster or something, like I don't know. Like, I feel like Godzilla's very just not something that's very, he's not a monster that's needed. He is needed to bring in the eyes of the viewers, because Monster Hunter Monsters has become the number one show on Apple TV Plus. So yeah, there's that. Very weird that it is not on HBO or on Max, but I'm guessing that's because of, I heard that some theories that's because Max got mad at Legendary for even fucking like attempting, like even considering the idea of putting of premiering Godzilla vs. Kong on Netflix all those years back. So then Legendary had to do things on their own, so that's why it's not on Max. But I don't know. But hey, I don't know, I would have preferred it to be on Netflix. Yeah, no, Godzilla is really inconsequential, so it doesn't really need to be here. Except from, you know, bringing in the viewers and all that. Next up, the Ion Dragon, which, dope name, but it is the worst monster here. Ion Dragon is, he doesn't really do much. He's the weakest monster in the entire fucking monsterverse, like by props, like by fucking default. He gets so fucking blasted by Godzilla. He gets torn apart, literally legitimately torn apart. It is insane what fucking happens to him. And, you know, eh, I feel like the Ion Dragon should have had. Why am I here? Should have had a bigger one, a bigger presence, like, and maybe even a bigger power. I said, like, just something that gives him just an iota of a fucking chance against Godzilla. But no, he goes in there, gets his ass beaten, gets fucking killed. We're never gonna see that thing again. And that's it, right? Iron Dragon. Now, something I gotta say about the Iron Dragon is technically the first Titan to be discovered. It's the first Titan to be discovered. Officially, in the timeline, 1952, the Iron Dragon was discovered before Godzilla. And fucking doesn't happen. Like, nothing, like, nobody has any reaction to the Iron Dragon ever again. Like, fucking, the Iron Dragon could have been replaced by a male, like, for the last episode, the Iron Dragon could be replaced by a male Budo, and nobody would have fucking cared. It would have been the same rather than reaction. As everyone maybe even recognizing, oh, that's the male Mudo. Or whatever the fuck. But the Iron Dragon does nothing. Like, when we see him in Atis Mundi, one, we see him twice in the Atis Mundi. He's the one that attacks Lee's first expedition. We don't see any reaction from him there. And then we once again meet him at his Mundi when Keiko, Lee, Mei, and Kate are gonna escape. So, and one, we don't see any reaction from from Keiko, and we see any reaction from Lee towards the Iron Dragon, which should have been a big thing. Like, oh my god, that's the fucking Iron Dragon. That's the first Titan we've seen. And just no reaction. But you know, Iron Dragon's kind of disappointing, honestly. You get some fucking ass beaten, and then we never hear from him again. So yeah, Iron Dragon, not the best Titan, not the best Titan here. Next up is the Frost Vark. Now the Frost Vark has, I feel like, the most interesting design, interesting concept. He steals heat from sources. That's how he gets his heat that he needs to survive in the cold. And it's very interesting. Too bad he fucking dies in the 7th episode. Or 8th, I don't remember when it was. He just dies in the 7th episode. It's like, yeah, he's dead. Or maybe he's in that Mundi somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, no, Frostbark is very cool, but aside from him being, like, just there, not really much. I kind of hope we see more of Frostbark later on the line, but aside from that, I don't know. Just Frostbark is the Frostbark, and that's all I gotta say about him. Some others, the Endoswarm versus Endopede. This thing, it's just up for, like, 5 seconds. I would have preferred if we saw the Endopede more. Which the Endopede is it's like the big insect thing that drags them down. I feel like that could have been, if we got a more thing, maybe in a fight, it could have been cool, but aside from that, we didn't really see anything. But yeah, no. Endopede is cool. Bramble Boar showed up for 5 fucking seconds and fucked off. Not very interesting. And the Mantleclaw. I heard it's kind of based on the crash we saw in Scotland, but then again, didn't fucking care about those either. So, not much to say. And also about Kong. Yeah, Kong shows up, but Kong is there for 5 seconds, like fucking any other monster. And just kind of nothing. So yeah, cool to see Kong here in 2017, and he has it looks like he's older than he is in 2024. So yeah. Yeah, moving on to some of the addition to the monsters that this series made. So, we saw the Origins of Monarch, which is something that we kind of saw in Godzilla Aftermath, which I actually have here. Or Aftershock, whatever the fuck it's called. Godzilla Awakening, motherfucker. I got it completely wrong. Godzilla Awakening. But it's very much not the it's very different and kind of retcons Awakening. But yeah, no, I actually don't really mind it retconning Awakening, because Awakening was a tiny novel. This is a full-on canon show. So yeah, no, I don't mind. I really don't mind it retconning Awakening. And you know, the whole thing about the Castle Bravo and all that, I don't mind retconning it. I really don't. So yeah, there's that. And you know, like a bunch of other things, like we see everything really leads up to like Not Skull, but kind of 2018. I kind of wish it led up to more of King of the Monsters, and because we see Monarch here in this show not having a lot of, it doesn't have a lot of the technology we see in them having in 2019, which is not that long of a stretch. But yeah, no, it's not a huge stretch of time, but I feel like we should have seen them having more advanced technologies. Maybe they get that later on the line, now that they're getting helped out by Apex. I feel like it's only that should get explored, and maybe they are being helped out by Apex, the whole thing. But I don't know. Like, where the fuck does Monarch go? After 2019, because we see them in Castle vs. Kong, but they don't do much. They don't really do much. So yeah. So now that we're talking about Apex, which that was kind of unintentional. So next up is Apex. So Apex, kind of cool that we see their origins here, kind of what they've been up to since before Castle vs. Kong 2024. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool we see him and we see how far back the Mechagodzilla project was in development, which I mean obviously had to be quite far back, but then the whole like Ghidorah thing happened, and yeah, I feel like it was pretty cool seeing Apex here become a much bigger part. Kind of want to see how the hell they're on Skull Island. Maybe they're the reason why it's completely the fucked by the time of Godzilla vs. Kong. But yeah, there's that. The Apex, pretty cool seeing them here. I'll say, really cool. Next up, the Axis Mundi. Now, I have quite a bit of problems with the Axis Mundi. Now, this is something that, is this me? But I don't like it. Not one bit. Now, pocket dimension inside of the Earth that leads to Hollow Earth, fine. It was just, if the Hollow Earth wasn't fucking changed like 3 times already. Okay, so in Godzilla vs. Kong, it's just like you need a Titan to get down, and that's pretty much it. Like, you don't go through this tunnel system, or there's no Axis Mundi. You just go to fucking Hollow Earth. Fine, I don't care. You need a Titan Center to go there. Fine, and Godzilla just a hole down there. Fine, I really don't care. Give me a second. But you know, and then Godzilla just hold on to it. Now it's just hold on a fucking thing you need to go through to get to Hollow Earth. Why have this? It breaks canon. Don't do this. No, it's so useless. It's such a useless fucking thing to add. Why do this to yourself? Show no. Don't don't add a weird concept that go nowhere. Anyways, let's move on to the plot of the show, which, oh my god. Jesus Christ. Okay, so the plot is fucking weird. Like I said earlier, the whole dad thing gets fucking tossed around first fucking half of the series, gets dropped later on the line, and then we see him again, but then there's the... let's go to the Users of the Lord, first of all. So we see things from 2014 in Skull Island, which pretty cool. We're getting actual connections between both of those time periods. And one of the things that's cool is that this happens between before Kill the Monsters, which is a time where we don't see, which is confirmed that we don't see Godzilla. We do not see Godzilla at all between 2014 and 2019. Technically, we do see him in 2015, or I guess the genuine year, the great year of, I don't know how long it's been, 1959 in the goddamn canon in the Ases Mundi, but it's 1959 in the Ases Mundi, so we kind of see him very sporadically. It's kind of cool. We see Castle Bravo, which is a different version of Castle Bravo than was in 2014, but whatever. We see Castle Bravo. We see Kong, we see Apex, we see, so it's very cool that using all these pieces of the lore that that, you know, makes it cool. And it could have gone, the plot could have gone there, could have gone ways, but it just didn't. So yeah, contradictions. It's a lot of contradictions here. Like the entirety of the Bill Randall plot, fucking, there's no way that could have happened. Like there was no time in Skull Island for that to genuinely happen. So yeah, I don't know. And the 20th century into 21st century plot lines, I like them. At first they were unconnected, but then they became connected. I feel like that was pretty cool, seeing these both become a connected time. And you know, it was something pretty cool. But aside from that, I feel like the plot is, it's kind of loose. It's very, very weird, very, very loose. Just nothing genuinely impactful, nothing great, nothing good. Nothing good really came out of the plot here. So yeah, there's that, I guess. there is really just that. That's all I gotta say. I'm not done, but yeah. So yeah, let's talk about the future for this show. Will there be season 2? I certainly do hope so and think so. This is the biggest show that Apple TV Plus has at the moment, and much smaller shows have gotten multiple seasons. So I'm going to limit and say that this show will probably get a second season, and we'll see it becoming, it's one of the mainstays. I feel like this is one of the shows that should get a second season, or has the potential to be getting second seasons and to be showing much more things. I feel like this show has potential. Now, what will season 2 be about? I really couldn't say. Maybe more Godzilla? Probably not, since we're in 2017. And we don't see Godzilla until 2019. Unless they do another 2-year time skip, I don't see that happening. So maybe instead of this season, we're gonna focus on Kong in season 2. Maybe we're gonna focus on Kong, but I don't know. But yeah, there's that. Next up, maybe some Godzilla it's Kong connections. I don't know if this will have any Godzilla it's Kong connections. This is coming out. Godzilla it's Kong was pushed forward to March of 2024. So maybe we'll see it. Maybe we'll see more things coming out here. Maybe we'll see. I doubt we'll see Apets in Godzilla. In Godzilla, it's Kong. I heavily doubt it. Maybe we see Keiko. Maybe we see any of these characters come back. Maybe we haven't seen that from anywhere or anything. But yeah, no. Maybe we'll see that from the show later down the line. But I don't know. Certainly weird. Certainly a weird little thing that the show has. That it's in a very weird position. I gotta say, this show is very much tied with everything that's happening here, but it's just kind of not very connected, I guess. I don't know. It could have connections, definitely. But will it? I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe it wouldn't. Who knows? We'll have to see later on the line. So yeah, to finish it off, to kind of just put it into a whole, I guess, wrap it up in a neat little bow, Modern Ecclesia Monsters is an okay show. If you want monster action, you're going to get it sometimes. A lot of episodes, some episodes are pretty slow. You're not going to get a lot of monster action earlier, but so... The human plot isn't very interesting. Aside from like the it's a very mixed bag. It's a mixed bag. If you want to watch it, go ahead. If you don't, don't. So yeah, that's all I really gotta say. I hope I was not unintelligible by this entire review. I was speaking way too fucking fast. I feel, but yeah, no. I hope that's very concise and that's something that you can understand. And, so yeah. Modern Ecclesia Monsters was disappointing. Sadly. The thing I've said for some very long time, I wish there was good kaiju television shows. Gamma Rebirth was a step in the right direction. It wasn't the best animated thing. It wasn't the best. It was not the best animation, but it was a good story, a good enough story. We need something with a lot more budget and something that has. If you know animated, which is the best medium, I think, for kaiju, we need something that has much more budget and much more recognizable. Something like Singular Point with the plot of Gamma Rebirth. That's something that we need. And but one of the things that I feel like Monarch really suffers from is the fact that it tries to be a human-centric plotline with monsters. It's a Monarch show, not a Godzilla show. So it's not the best, and that's why a lot of people are probably gonna be turned off by a show. You're not getting what you came here for. What you're getting is writers trying to make a deep plot with human characters, with complex human characters, but they don't succeed. When there are monsters, it's pretty good. But when they aren't, it's not that great. It feels like they are trying to do this very complex human plot and trying to rush through it in 10 episodes that are each an hour long. So, very interesting that this happened at all. But yeah, no. Conclusion, like I said, mid back. If you want to watch it, go watch it. If you don't, you don't. So yeah. What did you guys think of Modern Ecclesia Monsters? Leave it in the comments below. Follow us, Media Fae, Media, at Media _ Fae on Twitter, at Dia Entertainment, at the E at the end on Twitter as well, at Dia Entertainment on YouTube, this one with the E at the end, at Media Fae, just Media Fae on Spotify, not Media Fae Podcast, those are other guys, and for bonus content, eventually, at Media Buffet YT/MediaFayBonus on YouTube. For me, at Mercury S Cheese on Twitter, Mercury C Cheese on Twitch, and at Mercury SC on YouTube. So yeah, that's about it. See ya.